For May 7th, 2007, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Hi, it's Jeff Robbins, back with episode number 39 of the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. This week we've got an interview with Doug Gottlieb from Sony Records. Doug's title, official title, is the Senior Director of Interactive Media at Sony BMG Music Entertainment. And what does that mean, really? That means Doug is the man who brought Drupal to Sony BMG Records, and they've been rolling out some artist sites and some other sites for their record label using Drupal, and it's interesting stuff. The disclaimer is that Lullabot that Sony is one of Lullabot's clients, and we've been intimately involved with these sites that we're talking about. So I hope this doesn't sound like too much of an infomercial for Lullabot and the work that we do. But I thought it would be very interesting for people to hear about sort of the politics and, well, not really the politics, but the just sort of what it takes to bring Drupal to Sony and how it's worked for them and what are the issues that they have as a large company developing and deploying some large sites like the ones that they've been doing. And I should also mention that Sony's hiring. They're increasing their Drupal development work there. And they're building their team. So if you're a aspiring Drupal developer, or you consider yourself to be an expert Drupal developer, they're sort of hiring at all levels and looking to train up some people to become Drupal experts. So if that's something that's appealing to you, listen on and send Doug an email because they're hiring. We've mentioned on the podcast that people are hiring, and here's proof positive. So without further ado, here's the interview with Doug Gottlieb. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You actually listen to this podcast from time to time, don't you?
I listen to this podcast religiously. Learned about Drupal. Well, it's not how I learned about Drupal. I learned about Drupal from another podcast. I'm kind of a podcast junkie.
Let's start a little bit with your background. When I first met you, you were working at Rolling Stone, and now you're at Sony Records, Sony BMG.
Sony BMG, yeah.
What's your history with the web, and sort of what are the series of events that bring you to being the Drupal guy at Sony?
Yeah, I have a long and sordid history with the web, and even pre-web. I was actually I've been online, I guess, since 86, 87.
You were on CompuServe, weren't you?
No, pre-CompuServe. I was on something called Sierra Online.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a Commodore 64 online service, believe it or not.
And, right on.
I think that's what the company that eventually kind of morphed into AOL.
Wow.
So I've been doing online for a long time, and then I, of course, did CompuServe, and I did Genie, and I did, what was the one that Sears and some...
Prodigy?
Yeah.
It was called Prodigy. That was before the band.
Yeah, totally. Before they smacked their customers up. That was a horrible service, but it was one of the first ad-supported ones, wasn't it?
Yeah, and
it was totally...
Yeah,
ad supported,
and it had better graphics than some of the other ones at the time.
It had graphics, and then AOL, of course, launched and had amazing graphics and an amazing UI, and I dropped CompuServe, and I dropped Genie, and I dropped Prodigy, but I tried them all, and I was totally addicted to all that stuff, and I can still remember, as I think you probably can too, when it was a big deal when web pages stopped being just gray, and you could actually put like a color behind it or background pattern and stuff. So I think I taught myself HTML probably 1.0.
Nice.
I guess. And I've been doing – my background, though, was print way back in the day when things were actually printed. And I was a magazine art director. And it's kind of an online junkie, but a magazine art director who got the opportunity to jump ship around 1995 and do a joint venture with America Online and ABC and Fairchild Publications, where I was working. So my first online venture actually predates AOL having World Wide Web access. It was back in the days when the idea was to keep people online as long as you could. It was, and I used to rack up like $80 a month AOL bills in those days. You know, I had a real problem. You know, at my, whatever it was, my 300 baud modem and stuff. Ooh, I wonder what this sound clip of...
I wanted the new Aerosmith album.
Yeah, but it was like 2 seconds of it, and it took an hour and a half to download. And, oh, that just cost me $50, you know, for 3 seconds of music. But it was cool. So we built this thing on AOL called Style Channel. And I was full-time online guy ever since. And I did that for a couple of years and had the opportunity shortly after that, around 1997, to jump over to Rolling Stone, which was just starting a website and was signing a deal with AOL to be a content provider. And I was hired as an associate editor because there was no art director job, which is really sort of what my background was. But I'm sort of an editorial guy also.
So was Rolling Stone online and they had no art director job?
They had no art director job online. I think magazine art department had sort of built the original website.
Right. A JPEG, and that's the website.
Yeah. Lots of huge JPEGs. You know, but it was cool. You know, it was cool for a while. And eventually, as the associate editor, I redesigned the site. And then I redesigned the AOL site, and I built it in AOL's kind of proprietary tools, which were called Rain Man. Interesting name. But it's cool technology.
Because they were a little bit, you know, not quite mentally right.
No, it was actually, it was really shockingly good stuff. You know?
Oh, okay.
It was, really, like, very compressed graphics, and you would download stuff, and it would be cached on your AOL.
All right. Yep.
So it was pretty cool. And I did that for, I did Rolling Stone for 10 years, or roughly 10 years. And it was a company called Wenner Media. Also publishers of Us Weekly, and sort of in my spare time, I designed and built several sites for Us Weekly over the years. But primarily, I was a guy at Rolling Stone, as part of a small team of online people designing and sort of architecting and building the website. And I had the opportunity to go on to the other side of the coin and work actually at a label, you know, very recently, and moved over to Sony BMG, where I've been for 7 or 8 months now.
So Us Weekly magazine has a Drupal site now. Were you involved with that?
Yeah, it was I didn't build the Drupal site. I had left after vehemently recommending Drupal, 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 Drupal.
I'm leaving. You guys should use Drupal. Goodbye.
This is what you need. And then I went to Sony, where I also, you know, sort of pushed to do a Drupal site. I had most people's frustrations with various content management systems over the years, and the process always seemed to take a long time and could never do the kind of interactive community things that I wanted to do. And I was listening to a podcast one day. It was one of Leo Laporte's many, many wonderful podcasts. He's both got the quantity and the quality, I think, for the podcasts. And somebody, I think it was Doug Kay of IT Conversations, was asking Leo about his new site. And he said that he was working with these guys called Lullabot on a Drupal site. And I think John C. Dvorak/blogs and Doug Kay started sort of grousing about Drupal. They said, oh, Drupal, you know, you get those guys, those Drupal guys. They say, you know, we need to figure out how to Drupalize this. And they said, it's like a cult or something, you know, the Drupal cult. And I said, whoa, cult, that sounds pretty good. I like cults. I want to, you know.
I think we excerpted that conversation on this
yeah,
podcast.
And
sort of like to try and explain, no, it's not a cult and stuff. But you actually saw that as a good thing.
No, it's a cult. It's totally. My experience has been that when like really smart people, like software developers, are sort of cultishly devoted to a technology or a methodology, it's usually a pretty good thing. You know, people are sort of cultish about the Macintosh and they're cultish about iPods. I figure if they were cultish about Drupal or LampStack, or you know, it's usually for a reason. It's not crazy devotion to something that isn't good. It's usually something that's really, really good and really, really well thought out and really elegant. And so I started to kind of try to figure out what this Drupal thing was and Googled it a bunch of times with the wrong spelling. And eventually I found you guys. And because I was totally addicted to podcasts, I just started to listen to you and Matt and try to figure out what this node stuff was and these taxonomy things. And I was pretty clueless about it, but I enjoyed listening to you guys, and I liked the theme song. So I'd listen to the podcast, and, you know.
The theme song sold
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I really liked the theme song. And it became kind of obvious that I didn't know what the hell any of this was about, but it sounded like it was a good tool to build the kind of websites that I wanted to build, which were very sort of community-oriented and very interactive and could be kind of rapidly built. You know, it sounded like it was a very agile platform. And to be honest with you, I didn't go directly when it came time to start sort of exploring this stuff because we were really starting from scratch at Sony with the project that I was working on. I kind of was being pulled strongly in a direction to look at Ruby on Rails. You know, you listen to David Hennemeyer Hansen talk about the beauty and the elegance of the Ruby language and, you know, how quickly you can do stuff, and you watch his little screencast of him throwing together a blog in like 30 seconds. I thought, wow, you know, we need to do this in Ruby on Rails. And I spoke to a bunch of Ruby developers and kind of quickly realized that even with the Rails framework, there was a lot of stuff missing and that we'd be building everything kind of from scratch.
We need to do one of those videos for Drupal. Build a blog. It would actually be like build a blog in 10 seconds. It's like, well, install it. Okay, here's the installer. Okay, now turn on the blog module and you're done. It's just not as exciting, I guess.
Yeah, no, but the thing was, you know, I thought, well, we could be building a really cool, you know, software program from scratch and having it exactly the way we wanted, but then we'd be kind of stuck with a proprietary system and you know, knowing how, you know, big companies work, you know, you probably get a lot of money up front to start sort of developing what it is you need to do, but then it's hard to sort of maintain it, and you know, the development kind of ceases. And I kind of realized more listening. I listened to you guys talk about Drupal on the podcast. It seemed to make sense to me that you didn't have to be responsible for developing your own custom proprietary system. That there were these, you know, this huge community of people who were building Drupal in a really smart way, and in a way that even, you know, the best programmers that I could have hired, you know, they'd be outnumbered by the, you know, the hundreds of talented developers who were all working together on this Drupal thing. And it sounded like the framework that Drupal provided was already in place, so why reinvent it? And, you know, eventually it just seemed like a sensible way to go. And it had a great theme song. So. Which, well, as far as I know, Rails still doesn't have any theme song, so, you know.
Well, at the time, Drupal did. And Lullabot has had, there's been the podcast music, but now Drupal has it has a theme song. It's tongue-in-cheek. There's a cheek, and it's got a tongue in it, so something. Anyways, it's you know, I think we're going to sell a whole lot of Kleenex with
a whole lot of free software with that song.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna sell a whole lot of free software, like selling them like cigarettes. So, so let's talk a little bit about. What were the CMSs that you were using in the past at these other places? I mean, I'm just sort of curious to hear from you, like, the process of sort of moving from, like, a proprietary system to mm-hmm. to a more. I mean, we should talk a little bit about how Sony's using Drupal, but
sure.
but like, what was Rolling Stone using, and what are the advantages and disadvantages of using a system like that?
Yeah, Rolling Stone was a kind of an interesting situation in that the Rolling Stone staff were the editorial and design and sort of direction of what the product would be, but we always had various technical partners sort of in the business end who were responsible for developing the various platforms that we ran the site on. And we've run on everything from active server pages and a whole Microsoft kind of setup. Always proprietary database systems, some running on active server pages, some working on some Java environments and Oracle, but there were always homegrown solutions that were extremely robust and extremely well thought out, but they were giant sort of monolithic applications that were connecting lots of different disparate data sources and tying in with a lot of legacy stuff that were key components to some of the partner sites. So my experience was that while these things got the job done and they didn't crash and they held up very well, they were not what you would call agile systems. You know, if I wanted to add a field to the database, it involved a team and took weeks or months or years, you know.
In other words, it didn't happen.
Very often it didn't happen.
Right.
And they were very good at sort of the publishing model, but they weren't, you know, the one sort of directional, put the information in the database and put it out, but they weren't really user-focused. And I know it sounds kind of odd being at a large media company like Winter Media and a traditional publisher to kind of have the attitude that the web is a two-way street, but that's always been our sort of our mindset. Very early on, you learn that people come for your content and they stay because you involve them and you give them a voice and you listen to their opinion and it becomes a conversation rather than a monologue. And that's right. To me, that's always been what the best websites do.
Well, and that was kind of the whole thing behind that early, stuff, the bulletin boards and the Prodigy and the AOL and stuff like that was interactive, and it was people connecting with other people and conversing back and forth. And when the web started up, it was kind of a unidirectional kind of thing. It was funny. There was a little sort of pendulum swing there, and we're just sort of starting to get back to where it's really expected to be interactive in that way.
Completely interactive. And I will say that, we had the ability to do a lot of that at Rolling Stone, and we really, really pushed very hard to elevate the user content and to kind of share the spotlight with users' reviews of albums. You know, they would sit right alongside of David Frick, very famous rock critic,
mm-hmm.
brilliant writer.
Mm, yes.
But right alongside of his review of the new, you said Aerosmith album would be, Joe User's review, and they were literally side by side and equally weighted on the site. So
David Frick was not happy about that.
No, he was thrilled. He was thrilled as was our movie critic Peter Travers, who loved to hear what people's rebuttals to his movie reviews were. These are really cool people who are very secure in their opinions and happy to hear others.
Right on. Yeah.
So we pushed very, very hard with Rolling Stone to make it a very community-focused website, but I still wanted more. I wanted more agility, and I felt like there were better tools out there. So I've always been looking for alternative sort of methods for doing the content. And we built the Us Weekly website from scratch, and we started on a kind of a blog platform, WordPress, actually. And had great success with that. And when it came time to sort of build out the site even further, I was really looking for a a good interactive community sort of focused platform, and I have been pushing for Drupal very, very hard. And I'm glad that they took that recommendation, even though I wasn't around to see that site relaunch on Drupal. I know you guys were somewhat involved in that process, but it's a very cool site. It does a lot of interactive stuff, a lot of community stuff, so I'm pleased to have had some influence there.
So what were you brought to Sony to do, and what have you done since you've gotten there?
Yeah, we were Sony made some very high up people made a kind of an interesting kind of out of the box decision looking at Sony artists and the web in general, and recognized that there was a lot happening with advertising. There was a lot happening on the web, sort of interesting sort of activity around websites that we hadn't really been completely taking advantage of. And rather than sort of hire within the industry or continue to move along the same path that really every artist website and every sort of record label website has taken historically, they kind of hired these editorial guys, me and another guy I worked with from Rolling Stone, to come sort of take a fresh look at what the possibilities of the web were. And the first project we put together was a video portal that uses all of Sony BMG's sort of massive video, music videos and video archives. And being sort of the community sort of focused guys that we are, we wanted to do more than just show the videos. You know, we wanted to give fans an opportunity to rate them and to review them and to add playlists of their favorite videos to profile pages and to have a little bit of social networking. And, you know, we had all these grand plans for building kind of a little community around this asset that we had fairly easily at hand, which were the music videos. And we needed sort of a partner in crime to help us build this thing. You know, we knew that we wanted it to be Drupal. And we knew that, we wanted you guys to work with us to build it, because we'd been listening to the podcast and said, hey, we need to work with these guys. They have a great theme song. And it's fun to listen to the podcast, and they seem really smart, and let's just do this.
Doug, you're really selling my theme song business.
And it just, you know, so I think the history was we gave you guys some half-done design and a couple of pages and 30 seconds to help us launch this site. And we did. We built it, the whole thing, from start to finish in like less than a month, I think.
And don't tell anyone that, Doug.
I mean, you know, years of planning and speccing
The site, as it currently stands, right, is at musicbox.sonybmg.com, right?
.com, that's correct.
The Sony Music Box site, yes.
And so our mandate at Sony was to, you know, create interesting web experiences using the various assets at Sony BMG. Sony BMG is one of, I guess with all the consolidation in the record industry, there's basically three giant companies, and we're one of the three, so we're one-third of the music business these days. The third that includes, you know, some great artists, Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, everybody from those guys to Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake and Christina Aguilera and Outkast and Franz Ferdinand and Modest Mouse. And, you know, it's a huge, huge group of record companies that's come together as and become Sony BMG. And everybody really loved the Music Box site. It was hugely successful, and, you know, traffic rose dramatically. And it didn't really look like any of the other websites that we had built of the company before or worked like them. You know, we had all this activity, and people were registering, and they were blogging, and they were reviewing and doing all this stuff. And we were asked, you know, it wasn't really our mandate originally to look at artist websites. You know, we were supposed to build these new things like Music Box. And, you know, that all sounded really cool. But after Music Box, people said, well, what do you guys think? What do you think artist websites should be? You know, the typical artist website at not just Sony, but I think at almost all of the labels and even the independents is typically been kind of more of the brochure style website, you know, really beautiful, kind of flash oriented thing that kind of, its kind of sole purpose in life is to sell you the new album. And there's not much to do. You know, you get to look at one or two publicity stills and listen to a couple of clips, and basically the album cover animates and flies around for a couple of seconds. And you look at it and go, ooh, that's really cool, and maybe I'll buy this album, and you never come back to that website ever again.
Right.
So, you know, we said, you know, we think that artist sites should engage the fans. You know, there's this little thing called MySpace going on, which is getting a lot of activity, and people are gravitating around social networking, and our experience has always been that when you involve people, you get them coming back on a daily basis and participating. And, you know, if the artists were to participate in that kind of situation, people, you know, fans would love it, you know. And so we kind of started looking at how we could kind of reinvent the artist website as a place where the artist could really directly interact with fans and allow fans to talk to the artist and to blog and build profiles and have proximity to the artist and communication with the artist that wasn't currently happening on artist websites anywhere. I mean, there are exceptions. I mean, some people have gotten it very, very early. You know, Moby, who I believe actually has a Drupal site, were the exception.
Well, and a lot of artists have been using MySpace for that, even big major label artists who were signed before MySpace was around were starting to use MySpace for that purpose, and seemed sort of a shame.
Yeah, but we had artists who were spending more time on their MySpace pages than their own official website. You know, theartist.com was sort of like, you know, the brochure, and they spent all their time on the MySpace pages, you know, blogging and hearing what people had to say. So it didn't seem to make sense. I mean, the artist's personal site should be the place where all that stuff was happening. And so we called these guys who helped us build a really cool site for MusicBox, you guys, to help us kind of figure out how to build the next generation of artist website, which would be community-centric, would gather reviews and ratings and let people blog and do all the things that they were doing on various other sites across the web right there on the artist's website. And not surprisingly, people really enjoyed doing that. You know, they really enjoyed talking to the artist.
The other problem that needed to be solved, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is that there really wasn't a solution sort of for the artists other than, like, the great thing about MySpace is it provides a solution. And it solves that thing. Otherwise, the artist needs to go out and they're a music artist. They don't necessarily have an expertise in web pages and putting together a usable website or MySpace-like website. Arguable usability. And so, you know, they'd end up hiring a friend of a friend to build the website, and they go out on tour and they get big and successful and they play on Saturday Night Live and the website comes crashing down and they're out on tour and now their website's not working anymore. And so as a record label, you had this problem where you're getting these calls from these bands saying we're successful and our site's not working anymore, and yet you don't know what their friend Jim did when he built the website for them.
Yeah, that's you know, everybody, that's a very frequent scenario, I think, in not just at Sony, but I'm sure everywhere, where the artist's friend or cousin or sister or girlfriend or
dog
built the website, and you know, it may look really good. So, you know, they look really good. Sometimes they don't even look really good. But you really do need to develop these things if they're going to do something other than just be pretty flash things. You kind of need to have some understanding of the architecture, and you need to build it so it's scalable and can kind of support the kind of activity that that a major artist's website is going to have. You know, it's going to have a lot of traffic and things get complex pretty quick, and you sort of have to have an architecture that can support that. And fortunately, I mean, Drupal has been, we've found to be incredibly scalable. People are doing a whole lot of stuff on all of these sites. They're uploading photos, and they're rating things, and they're watching videos, and they're moving around, and they're blogging. And it's really, it's both a testament to the way, I guess, Drupal was, has been coded, and to your, to you guys' knowledge of setting up the system in the proper way, that we've had very, very few hiccups even. You know, the things really, really can take a pounding and seemingly not break a sweat, which is, it's pretty cool. I was certainly concerned about that. I'll be honest. You know, you know, I know that we can build something really cool and interactive, but can it? You know, I don't think any of us expected. We did a site for Chris Daughtry. The band is called Daughtry, and he was a first time artist who you know, we built this very interactive site. Lots to do. He wound up having a number one album. And with that number one album, a whole lot of interest and a whole lot of activity. And his site has been, you know, tremendous, tremendous success. And fans seem to really enjoy it. He enjoys interacting with fans on the site. And it's handled the traffic beautifully, you know.
Cool. Well, we should hand out some URLs for people so they can follow along at home. That's Daughtry.com, is that right?
Do I have
that?
It's Daughtry Official.
Oh, Daughtry Official, as opposed to the unofficial, damn, Daughtry.com.
Yeah, we've got DaughtryOfficial.com. We've built a site for Good Charlotte, which is GoodCharlotte.com. Similar architecture on the Drupal side, but very different look and feel, and very, you know, different content. We've built a site for Ozzy Osbourne.
Perhaps you've heard of Ozzy Osbourne?
And several other artists are live, and many, many more to come in the coming weeks and months. And it better not take longer than months, or we're in trouble. But people have been very, very happy with the sites, and we'll be doing a lot more.
So, what are the features that you added on? I guess I should say we added on, since Lullabot helped with those sites. But so one of there's a bunch of sort of artist specific, music artist specific features that, you know, Drupal doesn't have out of the box, but like a tour date calendar, right? Or
Certainly, I mean, you can almost think of artist sites are kind of a framework, right? I mean, every artist is going to need a place, or at least should have a place for their tour dates, and for music, for news about the band, and discography pages, and photo galleries, and video sections, and hopefully a blog, and you know, these are the kind of things that you would think every artist site should have, and have it be fairly easy to navigate and kind of a rich experience. And so that's kind of the framework that we start from with an artist site. We'd want fans to be able to find out about tour dates, and I guess you could just throw up a page that an HTML page that lists, you know, every date in every city, and you know, that would be fine. That's what most people do. But we wanted to, again, sort of engage people, give them an opportunity to sort of discuss the show, upload photos from the show, let people know that a forthcoming show is one that they would be attending, because we're finding that a lot of people are communicating on places like the message boards, and the various forums on the sites, and building friendships, you know, with people who they've really never met, other than that they have this artist in common. But they might live, you know, in the same city or nearby, so they can actually sort of tell the site that they're going to be attending the show at Madison Square Garden, you know, in 3 weeks or something, and have their name listed on the calendar for that date. And you know, the site basically facilitates fan meetups and allows them to give their impressions of the show and review the show and say what the set list was and who the special surprise guest that popped out and jammed with the artist on the encore and what the surprises were, and basically discussed the show at length with other fans who really sort of enjoyed that part. So it's not just the HTML page with the gig listing. It's really kind of a facilitator for social networking and meetups and reviews and the kind of like sort of arcane knowledge about a particular show that you know you really care about if you're passionate about that artist.
Makes a fan tap into it. Yeah, they've
really
got
fun.
You know, usually they've got more energy for posting on the site than even the artist does. So that's great.
And so we've taken that kind of same approach to really all of the sections of the site. So obviously there are not just track listings, but the opportunity for fans to review an album or talk about the single or talk about the video and to make recommendations and to you know, sort of tell the world why they're fans of this artist and why people should sort of be checking them out. And sort of evangelize the artist, you know.
Right.
And I think that's also something that we're seeing with these sites, which, you know, ironically, the site that was built exclusively as the kind of brochure to try to push the album, I think ultimately does not as good of a job as of ultimately selling the album as having a community site where fans are interactive and participating and evangelizing an artist and appreciating and sharing stories about the artist and about the music and their own experiences. I mean, I think that actually winds up being sort of a better brochure, if you will, for the album than the thing that's just geared to nothing but selling you the album.
Right.
And we're finding that as well. You know, we're finding that people really, you know, it sort of just takes you to that next level of fandom when you become part of a community of like-minded fans who are enjoying the same sort of cool music.
Cool. Right on. So, what are the areas where you found Drupal to be particularly successful or particularly unsuccessful? Like, maybe we should start with the difficult stuff. Like, what have the where has Drupal not really been the right solution for you, or hasn't worked quite the way that you wanted it to, or any of that kind of stuff?
I guess, if anything, I'd like to see Drupal, and I think, you know, any sort of reservations that we might raise about Drupal are rapidly being addressed. It seems like Drupal is constantly under development and constantly changing and constantly improving. My personal hope would be that it would get easier to sort of theme and work with and push even further into web standards compliance and try to involve less sort of configuration in PHP to make it look the way you'd want. Almost kind of, I know this has been an area of yours, the fabled Zen theme, but it would be so nice, and I think the Drupal community, I hope, go sort of in a direction where, you know, the thing with kind of technology is that it's created by these, you know, sort of rocket scientists, you know, hardcore programmers who, you know, build this thing and understand the insides and out and are kind of engineers, you know. It's not... And the first stages of development are always meant for the programmers, and not a lot of sort of attempt is made to sort of mainstream it and make it easy. That sort of happens later on as you revise and improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Drupal has probably come a long way towards making it easier. But it would be so great if a designer could just, you know, jump into Drupal and not have to worry about so much of the insides and sort of the PHP end and the theming end, and really just have these, you know, semantically correct HTML, XHTML output, and have the ability to easily throw some CSS on it.
Yeah.
And I think it's gotten close to that. It's getting closer and closer with each rev, but it's still not 100% there yet. You do need to know a little bit about how things work, a little bit more about how things work. And I'm hoping that sort of there'll be some, I don't know, some continued movement in that direction to make it more of a mainstream, just easier to use application.
Right, right. In general, and also the theming aspect of sort of the process of configuring the site and at, you know, as a part of making it affecting how it looks and then theming it so how it looks. So yeah, that's the difficulty of that, of course, with something that's as generalized and sort of abstracted as Drupal is that you don't really know what content you're managing. And so it makes it harder to do, but I think that there's been some good work in that direction and there continues to be more definitely. So cool. Any other Drupal gripes you want to?
Drupal gripe. No, I got to say, it's really, you know, it's exceeded my fondest expectations and hopes and dreams to be able to build what a site would do. It's the best thing since sliced bread.
Oh dear.
But it's not as readily, like, there aren't as many bakers. I guess that's a complaint, right? There aren't that many people who are really knowledgeable about Drupal, or at least as far as I can tell. There aren't, so we are, you know, we're building artist websites and new music entertainment related websites as quickly as we possibly can, and we're grossly understaffed. And you know, I've been just trying to find people who know what Drupal is, you know. And
right.
I figured, you know, working in Manhattan, you know, it's not Silicon Valley, but there's a pretty huge tech community, and there's just a giant population in general. You would think that there would be lots and lots of experienced or semi-experienced Drupal developers who would love to come help build websites for rock stars in Drupal. And we, you know, we're hiring, certainly, and we haven't had a whole lot of luck in staffing up.
well, here's your venue. So what are you looking for? You're looking for advanced Drupal ninjas, or are you looking for just PHP people who are looking to expand their Drupal chops, or what?
Yeah.
All of that.
All of that, yeah. All of that, and, you know, and their friend. And their little dog, too. You know, all of that and more. You know, we're looking for people who are actually experienced Drupalers. We're looking for people who know how to do PHP and are Drupal curious. To use your line, I believe. Actually, that's your joke. I should have let you. I stepped all over here.
No, please.
But yeah, we need themers. We need Drupal developers, Drupal programmers, people who are just really excited about Drupal, and as excited as we are about Drupal, and sort of want to do it full time. I think probably a lot of people kind of seem to be doing it as a hobby, right? That they're kind of...
Yeah, I get that. I see that a lot. I think we need to... I've said this before on the podcast, you know? There's a lot of work out there, and you guys are hiring.
Yeah, we are hiring. Come do
Proof
Drupal.
Proof positive.
Do Drupal full-time in our swanky, well, not-so-swanky offices in Manhattan, and have benefits.
Right on. So we should tell people where they can email or something along those lines. How can they follow up on this wonderful opportunity, Doug?
Yeah,
I sound like an infomercial.
Doug,
that sounds like a wonderful thing. Where should people write for more information?
They can email me directly, and if you'd like to put my email address on the show notes at lullabot.com.
Sure, just I'll rattle it off here. Can we spell
it? Can we say it here?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
It's douglas.gottlieb@sonybmg.com. That's douglas.gottlieb, gottlieb at sonybmg.com.
There you go. Then people can write it down because they subscribe to the iTunes thing, and you know, you never know how it's getting out to people. You want to back it up with all the different ways of doing it.
It's cool.
Yeah. And, yeah, you guys, actually, you guys have hired Earl Miles.
We have. We've hired the rock star of the Drupal community, or one of the rock stars of the Drupal community, Earl Miles, to help us build some really cool stuff. He's doing that.
People know Earl's from the, we talk about Views a lot on this podcast. Earl is the man behind Views and Panels module and all sorts of cool stuff that people are using in all kinds of different ways. Great.
Yeah, we are very, very excited about Panels and what Earl's doing with that. And that sort of goes, you know, very much towards the easily configurable sort of Drupal page that is one of the things that we sort of are dreaming about. And it sounds like Panels is going to go a long way to making Drupal or taming some of the stuff for designers with Panels.
Yeah, yeah, you can, yeah, configurable. I don't even know how to explain it right here, but good stuff.
Really, really good stuff.
Really good stuff. Are any of the other parts of we sort of talked about your Drupal gripes, and it seems appropriate to talk about your the stuff that you found to be really good.
Yeah, well, really good is the fact, I mean, right off the bat, the fact that you can build stuff, really good stuff, really strong, well thought out stuff, really, really fast. I mean, and when I say we, I mean you guys, because I didn't. But I just made pictures of.
Well, we're you're hiring a team of people, and you have some people now, right?
We do actually. Yes, we do have some people, and we need more people than we have. But yeah, it's remarkable how. You know, how well thought out the entire system is and how modular it is. I mean, we're using it to build artist websites, but I've heard of people using it to build Google Maps mashups or to build completely different kinds of web applications and completely different types of websites than what we're doing. It's an amazing tool in that it just feels so modular that, you know, we just snap pieces together, I guess, or you, when I say we, again, I mean you guys, snap pieces together of existing sort of code and custom and did some custom glue to make it all work together. But you don't seem very limited with what you can do with this thing. And I guess I'm still living in that Drupal dream world where it feels like this thing can do just about anything. And I don't know, I've yet to be proven wrong. You know, anything that we've kind of dreamt up and wanted to do seems like, oh, there's a module for that, or now that module is deprecated, but you just use CCK and Views, you know, to do that. We've been either way, you can sort of get it done, right?
We've been getting some grief about that last podcast because we thought about talking about things that are deprecated, but it didn't occur to us was that the things that deprecated all of those things that we were talking about. This is last week's podcast, was Views and CCK. And so, yeah, it was kind of embarrassing to read people saying, well, okay, well, you know, just I didn't quite realize it was going to be a big advertisement for CCK and Views, but good stuff. So, yeah, no, we've had really good luck with these sites. Luck isn't really the right word. I mean, I think that lots of times PHP gets a little bit of grief for being inefficient in one way or another, but I think it's not so much that as how it's used, and to some extent these things become sort of self-fulfilling prophecies, right? We're going to do this seriously. We're going to spend a lot of money on servers and we're going to use Java because this is serious. Or we're going to sort of half-ass this and we're going to use PHP and we're not going to spend any money on servers and we're not going to hire very good developers. And so you get a PHP site that running on the, you know, virtual hosting kind of thing and it comes crashing down and you think that PHP, it's PHP that's the problem, but it's not really. And I think that you guys have been really good about realizing that you can do it. Do Drupal sites professionally, and there is a lot of solid hardware running this stuff, and it's all been optimized, and It's been working great.
Oh yes, it's been rock solid, and just the whole the open source concept is, I guess maybe it is kind of an unusual one for a big company to sort of grasp. But when you really take it apart, it makes so much sense that you're not, you know, continually maintaining. You're not a little island trying to maintain your own little content management system, you know, by yourselves with your handful of developers, you know, when you could be using something that's being constantly developed by, you know, hundreds if not thousands of people are contributing to this thing and making it better. I mean, how many times has Drupal been updated in the past year? I mean, it's a couple of times already.
Yeah.
And it just keeps getting better and better. And how can you beat that, you know? It's just
Well, how's it been received? I mean, like, when a large company like Sony Records decides to use something like this, I mean, mm-hmm. don't the lawyers start to get nervous? And, I mean, it seems like the other tentacles of the company are into things that are less open.
Well, you know, it would have been harder for us. We're a giant company, but my group is kind of a very small part of a very big company, and we're kind of like a little nimble, almost guerrilla-like operation within the company. And it would have actually been way harder for us to go out and buy a vignette for $1 million or, you know, or whatever that costs these days,
right.
As a content management system or, you know, or try to develop something from scratch where, you know, you'd have to have a giant team of programmers working for you. And then, you know, our little tiny guerrilla group would have had to have been a giantly staffed, heavily salaried, you know, mega thing that would have just never gotten approved. And the contracts for buying, you know, these things and the budgeting, it just would have taken forever. So, you know, open source has been great for us that way, in that you've got something that's been developed for years. I don't know how many years Drupal has been in existence, but I know it's 5 years.
Five and a half years now.
Yeah, 5 years. Had a
5 year anniversary.
So we've had 5 years of revision on this application. You know, it's not betaware. It's rock solid, which is what, you know, we need. We needed something that was not going to come crashing down. And, you know, I don't care how good the programming team that you assemble would be, if you're building something from scratch, those first couple of weeks, those first couple of months, those first couple of versions, it's going to crash down, you know. And with Drupal, we were starting from version 4.7 with MusicBox and version 5.1 for the artist sites. So, you know, those early sort of version 1.0 applications are long, long behind us. You know, we're pretty confident in what the software can do and that it's going to run the way it's supposed to. And that's been the case. It's a mature product.
Cool. So let's talk about some of the sort of futures, short-term and long-term. What artist sites can people look forward to seeing on Drupal in the near future?
Well, we just lost Catherine McPhee,
mm-hmm.
another one of the American Idol favorites.
You guys have that whole American Idol thing kind of sewn up, don't you?
Yeah, we've got them all, which is very, very cool. We've got, as I mentioned, a site for Ozzy, which is launching next week. That's going to be a lot of fun. The album sounds really, really cool. I love Ozzy. Everybody loves Ozzy.
Everybody loves Ozzy. You used to love him because he was like out there, and now you love him like your crazy old granddad.
Yeah, and he's just great. He's really awesome. So that site should be a lot of fun. And there's a couple of other very, very well-known artists who I can't really say yet, but who will be doing sites with us very, very shortly as well.
Cool. And then So Drupal has been a success in your department, at least.
Yeah, Drupal has been a huge success in all of Sony BMG.
Are there other projects that you guys are looking at with it?
I would say there are many, many other projects that we're looking at with Drupal. It's going to be Drupal, 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 Drupal.
Yes, it will.
As the song says.
Cool.
Can I also just make another just a request? Even now that we're trying to hire people, but the other request is that Nathan and Ted Serbinski, you guys got to write the intro to Drupal book. Matt Westgate's book is great if you sort of know Drupal and you know what you know your way around sort of programming and development. But for knuckleheads like me, we just need a Drupal 101 book.
Yeah.
Somebody write one, please.
Well, everything's just accelerating. I mean, the fact that that Matt and John's book, I think, sold so well, I think has all of the publishing companies out there, they've all got a Drupal book planned, and it's only a matter of time now. So
Drupal for dummies, here it comes.
Yes, all of us dummies will finally have something to read.
I need remedial Drupal for dummies.
Short, big text, short
Drupal
words.
Drupal for editors and art directors.
Illustrated Drupal. Yeah, definitely.
It's a big market. It is.
Cool. Well, yeah. So we'll put up some links to some of these artist sites and the Music Box site on the podcast page. And Doug, thank you so much for coming on and talking a little bit about this. Maybe we'll do another podcast with some of the Lullabot team to talk about some of the sort of technology behind the stuff. We tended to sort of talk more about sort of generalities on this podcast, but we can talk about some of the how it happened from a Drupal standpoint. For all these sites, because I know looking at them, the further you get away from it looking like Drupal, the less people understand how it was built. So I think in the open source model, we can talk a little bit about that and shed some light there. So stay tuned for that. And Doug, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah,
and
thanks for having me, Jeff. I really appreciate it.
I hope you find some Drupal curious PHP developers or Drupal solid Drupal ninjas, however the case may be. So, cool.
Me too. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Take care, Doug.
Take care.
Bye-bye.